with a good question. The opening Mishnah gave us the case of somebody who claims that somebody else is actually a chalal, that his mother was a grusha, his mother was a chalutza, married to a kohen. We talked about whether it's really the chalutza case, because that's only the rabbanah, that was his own thing. But we said that in the event that you made such a claim, and it turned out that you were an eid zomim, and that was its own discussion of how exactly you become an eid zomim for that, what exactly is the contradiction on. But nonetheless, you claimed that you were there at the time of the divorce, and someone says, no, that's not true, you were with me when you say that the divorce happened. So in such a case, the rule is that that you can't become a chalal because of what you tried to do. We said instead you get malkos. So Eitan wanted to know how is it that you could actually become liable for this? We have a rule which we've already referenced of kasher zaman velo kasher asa. The Torah says that we do to the Zomamin as they plotted to do to the defendant, not as they succeeded, which means that in the event that they tried to execute somebody and they actually succeeded in doing so, then they would not be executed. We only do this, we only give them whatever penalty they were trying to give if they did not succeed. So how is it that you're going to have a case in which somebody will have gotten far enough that the Beis Din will have declared this guy a chalal, but not have carried it out? There's no difference. Beis Din doesn't do something, right, to make someone a chalal. Once Beis Din says, okay, this person is a chalal, it's over. So there is no stage of kasher zaman velo kasher asa. That was our problem that Eitan posed. So I'm going to offer more than one answer. But the first answer is the one that Eitan actually suggested. It's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma. Source Aleph. Tosfos there says, the discussion in the Gemara in Bava Kamma is about different dine mamonos, different ways in which you do something to somebody else requiring that he pay something or that you pay something. Different types of nezek, different types of harm for which one may have to pay. So in that Tosfos, Pirush Riva, Da'afilu Shilem al Piha Edim Zomamin Chayavin. He says, if somebody testifies against somebody else to cause him to have to pay, and the guy actually paid, and then they were found out as Edim Zomamin, they still are required to pay this guy back. Delo Shayach B'mamon Kasher Zaman V'lo Kasher Asa. We don't have this rule of as you attempted to do, not as you actually did. De'efsher bechazara. Why? Because you could always back out. You could always reverse it. Meaning, the reason why we say, when you're dealing with a death penalty, it's only if you didn't succeed, is because once you've succeeded, there's no reversibility. We have not yet found a way to bring the defendant, back to life. Once he's executed, he's gone. As opposed to money, so you cause some guy to pay money inappropriately, give the money back. That's all. It's reversible. And because it's reversible, it's the equivalent of kasher zaman velo kasher asa, because it's not actually done. So he says that on financial issues, the rule of kasher zaman velo kasher asa doesn't apply. And by extension, Eitan's argument is that ben grusha ben chalutza is also reversible. So Beis Din called him a chalal. Now Beis Din says, made a mistake, we'll send out an alert, this guy's actually not a chalal. And now there's no more. And now there's no more problem. So that's a fine answer, Eitan, that you gave. A fine answer for a fine question.
It's not possible guy to succeed in that case. It's not possible to succeed. It's only possible to succeed in the capital case.
It's only possible. You mean to succeed irreversibly?
That's right.
Right. So.
No, what I mean is, in a capital case, there's very rare that you're going to get a Eden Zomman. Because it's a very limited amount of time. Whereas in the case that we just discussed in this Tosfos, it's open season. It's always going to be kasher zaman. You're never, like you just said, never going to have kasher asa.
Correct.
It's never going to happen.
Correct.
So
I mean,
so it'll be a very common,
right?
More common type of thing.
My discomfort with this answer is that there is fallout that will not be reversed. This guy's been labeled a chalal, right? He was humiliated in public. Beis Din sends out a note, right? It's like when, the BBC sends out a correction for an article they wrote about Israel. It's too late. Right. Millions of people already read it. You know, everybody knows this guy's a chalal. And now Beis Din says, "Oh, my bad."
It's not publicized, like the same. I mean, like in the Megillah, you they can't, were able to overturn all. You know,
you can't correct for lashon hara. You can't. That's just
no payment
the old Christian analogy that all
but,
the Jews
but
quote.
Not
you can't
case.
Put the pillows back in the. You can't put the feathers back in the pillow.
But that's not the case Tosfos is talking about.
It's
talking
not
about strictly a mammon case.
It's not a real reversal. That's but
yeah.
That's it.
Correct.
No, but Tosfos
is
talking about mammon.
A mammon. Correct. And but
that
the argument
is
that. Well, that's the thing.
Right,
that's the question.
So then it doesn't answer the question.
Correct. if I'm right with my objection, the second answer. Would be based on a comment by Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. If you take a look at Beis, this is the Rambam. Rambam writes, Nerag Zesha Hiidu Olav. The Edom Zomen testified about a guy and got him killed. V'yachar kachuzmu. Then they were found out to be Zomen. Eina Neheragim in Hadin. They do not get killed. We don't say, Kavachomer, they should get, you know, they got some guy killed, they should get killed. Shenemar kasher zamam lasas v'dayin lo asa. Right, that's the kasher zamam lo kasher asa. V'zemi piya kabbali says that's a tradition. This is a mesorah that's so. Aval, however, im laka zeshe he'idu alav lokin. In the event that they cause somebody to get malkos, we don't follow the rule of kasher zamam v'lo kasher asa. Now, malkos are certainly not reversible, but the Rambam doesn't care. The Rambam says this rule does not pertain to Malkos, as well as Kenem Yatza Mamon Miyadzel Yadzeh Beidusan Choser LeBa'alav U'Misham Alon. The same thing is true if it happened with money. The Rambam believes that Kasher Zamam is only about the death penalty. It's not about anything else. And the Ravid says Shibush Huzeh. That's wrong. The Ravid is very terse, and he's very Spanish. He says, "No, Rambam, that's just not correct." He doesn't
going against the Mishnah.
Who is going against the Mishnah?
The Rambam.
What do you mean?
The Mishnah goes through all these great lengths.
The Mishnah didn't discuss Kasher Zamam. The Mishnah did not discuss Kasher Zamam v'lo Kasher Asa. The Mishnah only gave me cases and said, in these cases, he's getting Malkos. It did not talk about Kasher Zamam v'lo Kasher Asa per se. So the Kesef Mishnah, though, gives me two explanations for why it won't apply beyond a death penalty case. And both of those explanations, I think, are fitting here. If you take a look at Gimel, he first of all says, V'efshar lasis tam l'divei rabbeinu d'lamrina kasher zama v'lo kasher asa l'hecha d'hargu apihem. He says, I'm going to explain to you, and this was the answer that I was trying to give at the time. He says, the reason why Kasher Zamam is only in the death penalty case is Mishum de Gadol Avona Minaso. He says, you're thinking about things backwards. When we think about it in terms of saying to somebody, you know, we're going to punish you for something, we usually think the case where the guy gets punished is the worst case. The case where the guy doesn't get punished, it must be his crime wasn't as bad. Right? That's usually the way we look at things. If you didn't do something that was so terrible, so we're not going to kill you. We're not going to hurt you. You did something terrible, that's when we're going to zap you. The Kesef Mishnah says, no. Suffering a punishment atones. That brings you kapara. Not everybody has a shot at kapara. So the way he looks at it is, in the case of people who got somebody killed, the reason why they don't get killed is because they don't deserve it. Like that's too easy. Killing them, and then they get their name, you know, cleaned, and they go to Gan Eden, and all of that is too nice for them. You killed somebody, you don't have the privilege of getting executed. That's the way that they look at it. Only if you didn't succeed. But going back now to apply it to non-death penalty cases, he says this isn't going to apply to people like that. He says, Ein roi laseis lahem mises beis din shetachaper aleihem, el roi lanicham shiyu nidon in achar misa ba'un shim no royim. He says the person who actually, you know, got somebody killed, he deserves something, you know, something terrible. But that's not going to apply with things that are less than causing somebody to get killed. You cause somebody to get, you know, the chalal name, that we can deal with. We know how to atone for that. So that's another answer to the question of why it won't apply by chalal. And then the third is the second half of Source Gimel. He gives you another explanation why. He says, "Ilule shayachayev zemisa lo haya miniacha kadosh baruch hu shetova nefesh achas mi yisrael." I think I said this to you afterwards, or to Eric. Somebody I said it to. That there's an assumption that if a Beis Din executes somebody, God must be good with it. You know that pasuk, Elokim nitzav ba'adas kel, right? Whether it's adas kel or adas el, the idea that God is present when a Beis Din is handling cases. There's a concept, which actually this week is Parashas Mishpatim, it's relevant for Parashas Mishpatim, that Mishpat, carrying out justice, is a religious act. It's not just like these are the laws that society has and you go to the court and they take care of it. It's not the way it works. It's that the carrying out tzedek, carrying out Mishpat, is, you know, we have lawyers here? You have lawyers here? Okay, so lawyers are engaged in a religious activity. That's what it is. And so Hashem is present in the Beis Din, and there's no way Hashem would allow them to execute somebody unless for some reason Hashem wanted that to happen. So therefore, if the Edom Zomim succeed in getting this guy killed, it must be God wanted it that way. But we only say that for a death penalty. We don't say that for other things. Now, admittedly, this is hard to swallow, because, I mean, really? That's just like, okay, he got killed, I'm sorry, but I guess God wanted it. You know, you don't need an innocence project for that. But that's exactly what the Kesem Mishnah suggests, and that's why these rules won't apply outside of the death penalty.
We accept that for people that kill somebody accidentally. The concept that Hashem wanted them dead.
Well, yes and no. The guy still has to go to the Yermiklat.
He does.
We don't really do
it. That the way that somebody dies, a person, if they were to aid them and they wouldn't hide themselves a certain way, and the way they die is similar to the way they would have been executed.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. But it's hard to really accept that in a case where you know it was actually done on the basis of bad testimony.
Drowned, that's kind of, you know.
Yeah. But that's the third answer for Eitan. And then finally, the last answer that I'll give, and then we're going to cover some ground. In the Gemara, the Pnei Yehoshua gives another answer. We're going to see a Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Beis. The Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Beis is going to talk about how you know that in the event that they were successful, then you don't carry out the punishment. And the Gemara is not going to bring Kasher Zama Velo Kasher Asa. The Gemara is going to bring an entirely different idea, which is, the Torah says you give him the punishment that he wanted to do to the other guy. Kasher Zamam La'asos Le'achiv. What he wanted to do to his brother, says the Gemara, once he's dead, he's no longer your brother. Mm. Now, that's not true, like, for various halachos, like Kaddish and stuff like that. Nonetheless, once he's dead, he's no longer your brother, and therefore you're not going to do what he wanted to do anymore. But again, it's only going to apply in a Misa case. That's the Pnei Yehoshua, which I actually brought you in Dalet, but I don't want to spend too much time on this. You can take a look at it inside. There's also a Rav Chaim al Rambam here, which may be relevant. But the bottom line out of all of it is, all four answers that I've given converge on one point, which is Kasher Zamam does not apply to the case where you got somebody labeled a halal. That's the short answer to it.
It's interesting they're bringing Sfaras for what's essentially Gzeira Shava. So the Sfara is to limit the Gzeira Shava, is that the idea? Because the Kesem Mishnah is bringing a Sfara to limit.
Well, he's giving a Sfara to explain why we limit it. Not as a source for limiting it, but as a justification. Yeah, so we have a whole bunch of different justifications for it, three of which are logical, one of which is Gzeiras HaKasuv. Right? That's really what it comes down to. Or is it two and two? The first one was that it's reversible. So it's really three Svaros and one Pasuk. Okay. So good. Now let's go back into the Gemara and go further. We're on Beis Amud Beis, like three lines down. Okay. Me'idin anu b'ish ploni shehu chayav galus. So we said in the Mishnah that in the event that the witnesses showed up in Beis Din and they testified that so-and-so killed somebody accidentally and is supposed to go to the Ir Miklat. So the rule is we don't send them to the Ir Miklat, we just give them Malkos instead. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that? Menohan Emili, how do we know this rule? So Amar Reish Lakish Damar Kra Hu Yanus Elachas He Arim Hu Velo Zomin. The Gemara is going to give two answers. This is the first answer. Reish Lakish says, because the Torah says in Devarim Perak Yates, Hu Yanus Elachas He Arim. In the case that you execute somebody accidentally, he, the murderer, is going to run away. So he has to run to the city. Who? He runs away. Velo Zomim, but Adam Zomim would not go to the Ir Miklat. It's a Xeris HaKasav, it's a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, he runs to the Ir Miklat, not that the Zomim run to the Ir Miklat. That's Reish Lakish's answer. Rabbi Yochanan gives us a fancy other answer. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan Mar Kavachomer, Umahu Sha'asa Maisa B'mezid Eino Gola, Hein Shalo Asu Maisa, Bemezid Enodin Shalo Yigalu. It's a funny line to read. The argument goes, the argument of Rabbi Yochanan is to say this. The only guy who goes to the city of refuge, goes to the Irmiklat, is the guy who killed people by accident. If he killed on purpose, he wouldn't go to the Irmiklat. The Edim Zomamin lied on purpose. Intentional crimes do not land you in an Irmiklat. Only accidental crimes land you in an Irmiklat. Right, query, what if you testified accidentally by mistake that somebody killed somebody by mistake and you got him sent to the Ir Miklat? You're not an Eid Zomim, but then we don't have a rule of Kasher Zomim. But should you go to the Ir Miklat because you did a Bishogeg? But that's Rabbi Yochanan's argument. He says you don't go to the Ir Miklat for intentional violation. That's the argument, which the Gemara says.
How is it possible to have a mistake in Kasher Zomim? How is that even possible?
It's not. That's what we're saying. It's not. He's saying, his only point is to say, I'm arguing logically, as opposed to from a pasuk, that you're not going. Oh, no. I gave a case that's not a Zomim case. I gave a case that's stam. Somebody just testified by mistake.
Zomim unintentionally.
Correct. No, Zomim by definition is intentional. That's correct. So the Gemara says, Vihino senes, wait a minute, follow your logic here. Hu sha'asa ma'isa b'mezid lo ligli, Kihechid lo tehevele kapara. Hein shalo asu maisa bemezid nami liglu. Kihechid lehevele hu kapara. The guy says, wait a minute. This goes back to something the Kesef Mishnah said. The reason why the guy who kills somebody on purpose doesn't go to the Ir Miklat is because he doesn't deserve kapara. Right? The guy who killed somebody intentionally doesn't go to the Ir Miklat because he doesn't deserve that. That's too good for him. You can't atone via exile if you murdered somebody. But on the other hand, they didn't murder anybody. All they did was lie about what he had done. So maybe murdering somebody intentionally doesn't go to the Ir Miklat. But lying about what somebody else did intentionally, that's a lesser crime. You can go to the Ir Miklat for that. You can go to the city for that. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Are we good? Mm-hmm. We clear? That's the argument against Rabbi Yochanan. When you start to employ logic, you're always better off in the Gemara if you can bring me a pasuk. If you employ your own thinking, somebody else is going to come along and say, yeah, but I can think sharper than you can. And that's what happens.
It's the opposite of the Kama Homer, basically.
Yeah, basically. So they knock out Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, yeah, okay, fine. Elam achvarata kid Reish Lakish. Clearly, we have to go back to Reish Lakish, drop Rabbi Yochanan's approach. And the answer is, I know that the Zomamin who sent this guy to the Ir Miklat, I know that they don't go to the Ir Miklat because the Torah says, he goes, nobody else goes. That's it. They're done. The Gemara now asks a broader question. It's Ula talking. The Gemara says, you've now convinced me that people who make someone a halal don't become halalim. You've convinced me that people who send someone to an Ir Miklat don't go to an Ir Miklat. But how do you know that what you do give them is malkos? Right? Maybe fine them. Maybe put a sign outside their house that says this is a bad person. Like, how do you know that you're giving them malkos? That's what we want to know next in the Gemara. So Amar Ula, the Gemara is going to have a false start on Ula. First the false start. Amar Ula, Remez le'edim zoam min haTorah minayin. Ula seems to say, where is there a hint in the Torah for edim zoamin? To which the Gemara says, no, that's a pasuk. Remez le'edim zomin, a hint to edim zomin. Vaksiv asisim lo kasher zamam. The Torah tells you explicitly what you do with edim zomin. I have a pasuk. I don't need a hint. Ella, rather, here's the second version of Ula. Remez le'edim zomin shalokin min ha'torah minayin. Where do I have a hint that they should get Malkos if you can't give them the other penalty? How do you know that their default penalty is Malkos? And this is a Gemara that I quoted last week, but now we actually see the Gemara. Dichsiv, because the Torah says, V'hitzdiku es hatzadik v'hershiu es harasha v'haya im bin hakos harasha. And they pause the pasuk there. The Torah describes giving Malkos in Beis Din. So it says, the court hears the case, they find the good guy innocent, they find the bad guy guilty, and in the event that the Rasha deserves Malkos, then they carry out Malkos. That's the pasuk. So the Gemara says, Mishum v'etzdiku es hatzadik v'yeshiu es harasha v'haya im bin hakos harasha. How does one pasuk lead to the next? Is the question. If that passage is talking about judges finding the wicked party guilty and finding the innocent party innocent, does that can guarantee that there are going to be Malkos? In other words, Malkos happen when you find the wicked party guilty. It has nothing to do with finding the innocent party innocent. What you should have said was, V'hershiu es harasha v'hayam bin hakos harasha. They find the wicked guy guilty, and then if he's supposed to get lashes, then you give him lashes and so on. So the Gemara says, Ella edim shehershiu es hatzadik, ve'asu edim acharini, ve'etzdiku es hatzadik de'meikara. So you say, no, the case that we're talking about is actually not about judges at all, it's about witnesses. Witnesses came along, they said that the person who was good was bad. Hershiu es hatzadik. They found the tzaddik to be a rasha. Then, va'asu edim achrini, along came other edim, and that's where the pasuk picks up, v'etzdiku es hatzaddik de'me'ikara. They declared the tzaddik to be a tzaddik. V'shavinhu lahani rishayim. And they said, these edim are rishayim. V'hayan bin hakos harasha. And then, they hit the Rasha. So what the Gemara does, I have to say, it's a little bit of a tortuous read of the Psukim, but it's saying, this is a Drasha. This is not straight read. When the Torah says, find the innocent innocent, and find the wicked guilty, and they're hitting the wicked, was actually saying, in the event that first the good guy was found guilty, and then along came witnesses who said, they were lying, that's the good guy, that's the bad guy, then we're going to take the witnesses and we're going to whip them. When are we going to whip them? We already have a rule that you do to them what they wanted to do to the other guy. Yeah, but if you can't carry that out, your default is going to be Malkos. That's what you're going to give. So that's how I know that the default one is Malkos. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to just make sure. I was going to put the psukim like whole on the on the sheet, but I always am reluctant to do that because then it's shamos. So I didn't do that. But I feel like it's easier to follow that piece if you actually. I know you have the fancy art scrolls they give you like in the margin, the full pasuk, so you can work with that. But it's worth like to read it with the pasuk. It helps.
It's still just like you said, torturous. Really. What's the significance of remes? Is that our way of saying it's really Alecha Moshe Misinai and this is just the remes from the Psukim? Or what's the remes leidim zomen
atomiyai? Calling it Alecha Moshe Misinai is interesting. Maybe you could argue Alecha Moshe Misinai. Definitely the use of the term remes does indicate it's not a normal Gzeres HaKasuv.
Because then it could be torturous and who cares? That's why.
Even Gzeres HaKasuv can be.
Right, that's true.
But... it's true. I was learning with somebody before this. We were talking about ayin tachas ayin, right? So ayin tachas ayin, we know, is mamon, right? You don't actually knock out somebody's eye in place of somebody else's eye. What you do is you have them pay for it. So, the Rambam says, well, that's obvious. Because if you look in the psukim, It's straightforward because the psukim say chabura tachas chabura, bruise in place of a bruise. But then they tell you that if you bruise somebody, you have to pay for time lost from work, and you have to pay for embarrassment, and you have to pay for medical bills and so on. And he says, if you're already bruising him in place of that, then what are all these payments? The Ramban also frames it slightly differently, but same idea. But after having said that, the Rambam says, even though it sounds like this is from the psukim themselves, like the argument he just made is a pasuk argument, he says it's really Torah Shebaal Peh. And all the way back, he says to Yoshua's Beis Din, that's the way they were handling cases where somebody hit somebody else. It was always handled that way. And you can make the argument that that's what we're doing here also. The limud from, you know, this lesson of Hayam bin Akos HaRasha is difficult. Nobody would have sat down with a chumash and read it that way without knowing the Gemara does that. But what we're saying is this is the way Edom Zomen works, and we know this is the way Edom Zomen works, and here's an anchor and a pasuk to, you know, to support it. But the Gemara says there's a different pasuk you could have brought that would seem to be a lot clearer, and it was last week's parsha. Says the Gemara. Just lost my place. Yeah, the first of the wide lines. V'tepuk lei mi lo sane. Why not learn it from lo sane b'reacha eid shaker? Right? You're not allowed to lie under oath. So, or we don't have the oath like that, different oath. But there's no such thing. You're not allowed to lie on the stand. So why isn't that why they get malkos? They violated lo sane. Mishum dehavi lav she'ein bo maisa. And the answer is because there's no deed involved. V'chol lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokin alav. If any time there's a lo sase, which you violate without a deed, there is no there's no malkos. That's a basic rule. What happens is the Gemara, we're going to see this Gemara eventually, the Gemara says that the Torah juxtaposes the laws of Malkos with the law of muzzling an animal while it's threshing. Lo sachsom shor bedisho. And we understand that in order for a lo sase to be punished with Malkos, it has to look like that template of muzzling the animal. And if it doesn't, you're not getting Malkos. So the main rule that's learned from there has to be an action involved. If there's no action, no Malkos. Speech, at least as far as we're concerned right now, we may change that eventually, but right now we're saying speech does not constitute an action, and therefore there are no Malkos for lo sane, and that's why we have to go looking elsewhere for how you know that they're getting Malkos. That's the idea. So here I brought you on the sheet, again, Rav David Povarsky's point, which now we can see it having seen what we just saw. He says yesh lehistapek, there's room for doubt. Ha'im kavanas ha'gemara de be'emes mishum lo sane ein lokin kevin de havi lav shein bo ma'isa. Does the Gemara really mean no malkos for lo sane because there's no deed? V'rak din ischade shchiyuv malkos chadash bikra de v'hitzdiku. And rather, the reason is because v'hitzdiku as a tzadik, yeshiyu as harasha. That's how we know it. Dehecha de'efshar lekayim kasher zamam, where you can't do kasher zamam, afilu hachilokin, so there are malkos. V'after lo avi mamish kasher zamam, even though it's not actually kasher zamam, we'll give the malkos anyway. Al koponim havizeh din chiyuv malkos midin hazama. They get lashes as part of the laws of Edom Zomamin. That's one way to read it. Losane is out of the picture. They're getting malkos because of Zomamin. O Dilma, second paragraph in Hay. Odilma hakra de vehitzdiku havirag gilui delokin al losane afa pisha in bomaisa. Maybe what's actually happening is vehitzdiku as a tzadik, rishu as harasha is teaching me that you get malkos because of losane, even though there was no deed. Vimkein chiv hamalkos lohavi mi din hazama klal rak mishum losane. That's why they're getting malkos. It has nothing to do with Edom Zomen and everything to do with losane. The pasuk is demonstrating that there are malkos for it, even though it's just under losane. And as I said last time, the difference between saying that it's losane versus saying that it's a function of zomamin is, do I require all of the elements of zomamin in order for you to be chayav? Or did v'hitzdiku now teach me that any time you lie when you're testifying and you cause somebody to suffer, now you're going to get malkos? Is it now teaching me that Losane actually does have Malchus? Is that what I'm learning from Beit Sefer? Okay. So the Gemara now has established that that there are Malchus for these Edom Zomen who can't get what they tried to give to the defendants. That we now know. Vitzdiku, maybe Losane, according to Rav Dava Povarsky, perhaps. Now we come back to cases in which we don't give the Edom Zomen what they tried to give to somebody else, but it's broader than just the two cases we know about. Right now we know of only two cases, right? What are the two cases we know about?
Irmiklan
and Chalal. Correct. Those are the only two cases we know about. But the Gemara now says we got more. Second of the wide lines. Tana Rabbanan. Arba devarim ne'amru be'edim zomen. Four statements regarding edim zomen. Number one, ein nasin ben gerusha uben chalutza. We don't make them into a chalal, right? That we already established. Second, ve'ein golden lari miklat. They don't go to the city of refuge. Third, ve'ein mishalmin es hakofer. They do not need to pay kofer. We'll talk more about what kofer is, but kofer is essentially where one's animal kills somebody. So the rule is that you have to pay for that person's life, as Beis Din establishes. Ve'ein nimkarin be'eved ivri. And they also will not be, they will not be sold as an Eved Ivri. Now, being sold as an Eved Ivri, Rashi has one explanation of the case, the Rambam has a different explanation of the case. Rashi explains that the case of being sold as an Eved Ivri, well, I might as well read the Rashi, I guess. It's good for the soul to read Rashi. So, Rashi is Ve'ein Nimkarin. It's, if you see where the lines get wide in Rashi, it get wide in Rashi and you go up from there about 10 lines. The last word on the line is Ve'ein. I used to give a Gemara shiur. There was a guy with a Steinsaltz. I used to drive him crazy by doing that. The Ein Nimkarin. So they are not sold. Im Ha'iduhu Shagonav. They testified that somebody stole. The Ein Lo Malishalim. And he did not have the means of paying for the alleged theft. The Nigmar Dino Limacher. And therefore, Beis Din said he has to be sold. Because that's the rule, right? There are only two ways to become an Eved Ivri, also appropriate for this week's Parsha. Only two ways to become an Eved Ivri. One is if you stole, you can't pay for what you stole. So Beis Din says, okay, so we'll sell you for whatever period it takes you to earn back what you stole. Or if a person becomes absolutely broke, has no means of support for himself, then he's allowed to sell himself as an Eved Ivri. He's not allowed to sell himself as an Eved Ivri unless he's absolutely broke. That's the first halacha in Hechaz Avadim. So in this case, they allege that some guy stole. He's not able to pay for the debt that they believe he's now, that they claim he's now incurred. Beis Din sold him off, and then they turn out to be lying. So the rule in such a case is they're not sold as an Eved Ivri. Instead, they're going to get Malkos. We've now expanded our field of Malkos cases. The first two are the originals. The third one is they claim that somebody's animal killed somebody, so we don't make them pay the kofar. Instead, we have them get malchus. And then the fourth one is the case where they testify that somebody was sold as an Eved Ivri. There's this weird Rambam in source Vav, where the Rambam gives you a different version of the case. Heidu olav shenimkar be'Eved Ivri. They actually testified that a guy had been sold as an Eved Ivri. So-and-so is an Eved Ivri. The Huzmu, then they became Zomen, Lokin, then they get Malkos. But the Gevurah Sari, the Shagas Aryeh, in Sor Zion, says that makes no sense with the flow of the Gemara. I don't understand what the Rambam was doing, unless he was just adding a case that isn't our Gemara's case. But our Gemara's case, you'll see, that just doesn't work. Go with Rashi on this. So back in our Gemara. The Gemara is going to want to know about case number 3 and case number 4. How do we know these rules? So, says the Gemara, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru. Sorry, there's another case first. There's Rabbi Akiva. They said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Af Ein Mishalmin Al Pi Atzman. They also don't pay based on their own admission. Meaning, if people come into Beis Din and they say, we were found to be Edom Zomen in a different Beis Din, and we owe, fill in the blank, $1,000, we don't now have them pay $1,000 in this Beis Din. For reasons that we'll get to. But if they acknowledge themselves, no one knew, no one had any test, had any proof of it, no one knew anything about it, that's not going to cause them to have to pay.
I just have to do the other four cases.
It's Rabbi Akiva adding it. The only that they're not correct.
Found to be in
so you'll see. You'll see the connection. Maybe not today. We'll see. Maybe today. We'll see. I think I can when we get to the bottom of the Amud. So the Gemara says on this set of cases, Einasin ben Grusha ben Chalutza, right, the fifth of the wide lines. They don't become halal kidi amran. We already explained that one. They don't go to the city of refuge kidi amran. We already said that too. The ein mishalman es hakofer. They also don't pay the kofer if they testify that somebody's ox killed someone. Kasavri kufra kapara. The reason for that is because there are two different ways to look at a kofer payment. Any payment, really. All payments that a person ever has to make in halacha are either classified as tashlumen, remuneration, you're making somebody whole, or a knas, a fine. A fine isn't about making somebody whole, it's about punishing you because you did something bad. It's an atonement act. Remuneration is about the victim, right? Kapara, knas, is about the criminal. So the argument here is that kofar is not remuneration. Kofar is a fine. It's not about making it up. This guy got killed. You're not making it up. What you're paying is kofar. Literally, kofar is kapara. It is for atonement. Now, this isn't necessarily making a statement about what kofar normally is, but it's what their kofar would be. Take a look at Rashi, where he makes it obvious. Rashi is right at the end of the thin lines, kufra kapara. L'chaper al zeh shaharag shoro es ha'adam. V'hani lav b'nei kapara ninu shalo harag shoram adam. The argument that Rashi makes is that kofar would be for them. Their ox didn't kill anybody, right? There's no atonement for them because there's nothing to atone. The ox didn't do anything. So therefore, that would have to be an atonement thing, and that's irrelevant for them. It's entirely irrelevant. However, the Gemara then wants to know, how do you know that it's kapara?
Why is it entirely relevant for them?
Because their ox didn't kill anybody.
Correct. So you're saying there's only kofar.
There's only
ox kill someone?
Yeah. Which didn't happen. And that's the next line of the Gemara. Mantana kofar kapara. Who is the author of the idea that kofar in general is kapara, is atonement? Amar Rav Chista explains, Rabbi Yishmael benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokahi. It's Rabbi Yishmael, son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokah, disanya. Here's the brisa. The Torah says, our parsha, everything's in Mishpatim, v'nasan pidyon nafsho. If somebody's ox kills somebody, he gives redemption of his life. What does that mean? Demei nizak. He pays the value of the victim, says the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yishmael benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokah omer demei mazik. But Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokah, says no. He pays his own value. In other words, the Torah says, your animal kills somebody, you pay pidyon nafsho, redemption of his life. Whose life is that? Two different views. One view, the life of your victim. The other view, the life of the vandal. Now, well, first of all, when we talk about paying someone's value, just in case anybody wasn't aware, paying somebody's value normally means you evaluate what they would be sold for on the slave market. That's the value. That's the person's market value. So the applying that here to the case here, the idea is if you're paying the value of the defense, not the value of the victim, then it's remuneration, right? You're paying for the harm you caused. But if you're paying your own value, that's obviously not remuneration, right? You killed somebody who had this incredible skill that would have commanded huge value on the slave market. You yourself have no particular skills. So it's worth much less than the harm you caused. That's not remuneration, or vice versa, for that matter. So it's clearly kapara. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka believes that it is kapara. That's the argument. My labaha kamifligi. Isn't this the debate about whether you're paying the victim's value or the attacker's value? Demar savar kufra mamona. The first view says it's remuneration. Umar savar kufra kapara. And the other one says no, it's atonement. So Amar of Papa lo. Rav Papa says not so fast. Dekule ama kufra kapara. I will argue, he says, everybody believes that kofar is a fine. It's about atonement. It's not about remuneration. Everybody says that. V'hacha v'hakimiflagi. What's this debate about here? Mar savar b'den nizak shayminan, u'mar savar b'den mazik shayminan. One says that the rule is you evaluate based on the victim, and the other one says you evaluate based on the attacker, but both of them believe that it is a fine, it is for atonement. Where does this come from? Where does that come from? My time, I de Rabbanan. What's the Rabbanan's reasoning for saying we do it based on the value of the victim? So also from Pasuk in our Parsha. Ne'amar hashasa lemata, v'ne'amar hashasa lemala. Here it'll be useful if you have the Pasuk in the margin, it'll be very useful. When the Torah talks about somebody who kills a fetus, Rachmana Litzlan, somebody kills a fetus. So the rule is that person has to pay ka'asher yashis alav ba'al ha'isha, according to whatever the father says he has to pay. Ka'asher yashis alav ba'al ha'isha. Uses the word yashis, which is an odd word. And regarding kofar, it says, im kofar yushas alav. Right? Those who are learning contemporary modern Hebrew, don't worry about the word yushas and yashis. This is not a modern Hebrew word. But the point is, the word appears in those two psukim. So it's teaching me that just like in the case of killing the fetus, it's the victim's value. So to here, it's the victim's value. You use the word yashis, it's the victim's value always. Ma'la halam bidinizak afkam bidinizak. It's the victim. V'Rabbi Yishmael, and what will Rabbi Yishmael say? V'nasan pidyon nafsho ksiv. He says, no, the Torah says he pays the redemption of his life. It means his own life. That's his own value. Which sounds like a good argument to me, much better than yashis and yashis. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbanan, go back to Rabbanan. Why didn't you agree? They say, in, you're right. Pidyon nafsho ksiv. It does say redemption of his own life. Miyuki shaymina, but denizak shaymina. But that doesn't mean he pays his own value. It just means he's redeeming his own life. That doesn't mean that that's how you evaluate what he has to pay. So what the Gemara says at this stage is that the when it comes to paying kofar, the argument is they don't pay kofar, even if they tried to get somebody to pay kofar, because kofar is kapara, it's atonement. It's only for the case where your ox killed somebody, their ox didn't kill anybody, and therefore there's no atoning for them to do by paying kofar, and instead they default to malkos. Clear? Good? Mm-hmm. Okay. The next stage is how we know that you don't sell them as an eved ivri. According to this, we're at 43 minutes. We started a minute or two late. Do we do 2 minutes? Yeah. Okay, we'll do 2 minutes. Okay. I mean, it won't finish the Gemara, but it'll get a start on it. Ve'inim karin be'evet ivri. They're not sold as an evet ivri. Sava Rav Hamnuna le'meimar. Rav Hamnuna thought to say, Hani mili hecha di islay lididei. He thought that this statement that they don't get sold is where they have the money to pay for the alleged theft, right? We're going with Rashi's version of the story because the Rambam's version is very hard to fit in here. Rashi said they alleged that somebody stole and that guy wasn't able to pay for the theft that they alleged. But they have the money to pay. Demigu de ihu lo mizdabin, inunami lo mizdabnu. This is where the guy, their victim, had the money. Since he wouldn't have been sold, they also don't get sold. Boy, he doesn't have the money. Even if they do, bizdabnu, they would be sold. Rav Hamnuna believes that if this guy doesn't have the money, we actually will sell them as an eved ivri. To which the Gemara says,
even though they didn't intend,
correct.
To make himself, he doesn't have money.
Correct. And the Gemara is going to give a better challenge. The Gemara's challenge is going to be, well, they could just say, if you had money, you wouldn't have been sold. So we who have money should not be sold, right? We shouldn't get sold for it. So we'll have to see. The Gemara is going to rewrite Rav Hamnuna, and it's going to bring in Rava. So God willing, we'll pick up with that next week. We'll do a little less of the external stuff next week to make sure we stick to our Amud a week pace. Okay?